Hey, welcome to the Meat House. Jeff here.
Chris here. Oh, finally some nicer weather.
Yeah, no, it's still a little hit or miss, but we're getting more of the heads than the tails on that coin, I think. You know, I think we're sitting at like 65 today,
yeah,
somewhere nice there. We had like almost 70 a couple days ago. And there was a radiant cold 45 in the middle.
And cold this coming week, we get up as high as 81.
Really? March, that's nice.
Yeah.
Or terrible. I'm not sure which.
I'm going to say nice because I'm between the windstorms and the snow and the tornado alerts and all that. I'm done with that right now.
Hey, you know me, dude. I am at my happiest when I can be at work on my back deck with the chickens and the dogs running around.
Yeah.
Nice weather.
That'd be a good day for it.
Bring it on, please. Hey, guys. Thank you for tuning in this week. As usual, we need to thank you guys because you tune in week after week. We appreciate that so damn much. This is fun just for me to hang out, sit, talk with my buddy about, you know, the weird topic we've decided to talk about this week. But it's also great to get to interact with you guys on the channel and get to, you know, be part of this community where people are doing all kinds of weird, fun stuff and playing around and getting all their interesting things going on. Reach out to us if you have something you want to talk about or if you have something you want to brag about, you know, just want to call us names. I guess that's fine, too.
Yeah, but, yeah. You won't hurt me. I mean, I've been yelled at by professionals.
We're grown-ass men. We can take a little bit. Hit us up at Facebook at The Meat House or info@themeathouse.com. TheMeatHouse.com, not just MeatHouse.com. That's apparently a common
issue. Apparently, it's a thing. I made a mistake myself once upon a time.
It happens. And V is such a, you know, it's one of those definite articles of English that we're a weird language and we even have those things.
Yes.
Anyway, regardless, thank you guys. We appreciate it so much. Of course, as usual, the other group we need to thank is
Bacchus and Barley Corn. Jeff just went there the other day.
Yeah. He had to go get, we will talk about the reason, I think, in another week. I have a little surprise I'm cooking up for Chris, so he has a whole week to sit and be like, what the hell is Jeff planning? But I did some digging in my closet, and I found...
I'm not a patient man. This is so ridiculous.
I'm going to make you wait a whole freaking week, and I'm going to love it. But anyway, I was in my basement looking at some of the stuff I found, and you know what I found? I found... These have been sitting around for a little bit. I have a beer kit from a company called Brew Firm. We had them back on the channel back when it was, I think it was me and Ryan, maybe me, Ryan, and JD. But it was the first time we had to make an international call because this is a company from Belgium. They briefly had a run of these kits. It's a, I want to say, 3 pound, 3 ounce malt syrup to make a beer. And part of the instructions for this is to add between 4 and 5 pounds of table sugar. And you know what?
They're lightly sweetened.
Well, that a lot of that is to get the alcohol percentage. This is this particular one, the Belgian 1774 Belgian Brown Ale, is supposedly going to be an 8%er.
Well, it's not very high.
It's not terrible. For me, it's not bad at all. It's a little heavy for a beer, but only a little. But you know what, Chris? If I'm going to put 5 pounds of table sugar into a beer, why not
5 pounds of honey?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And make a mead. And I think that was the gist of the conversation we had with the gentleman from this company back in the day was, just take the kit, play with it, have fun, add more hops or, honey to make a bracket or do whatever. Just, you know, enjoy it. I got 3 of these because they gave us a great discount on their website. They have since gone out of business in the United States. They are still available. I saw a web store somewhere on the European continent. I want to say Belgium or the Netherlands. I can't remember which, where you can still get these. They have redesigned the labels or they had different labels for different markets, but they're still selling. They're just not selling stateside any longer. But I've got 3 of these kits. I've got a Belgian brown, I've got a Belgian wheat, and I've got some kind of another Belgian-y thing. But you know what I didn't have yesterday when
what?
I decided I needed to do something with these and I needed to do something with them soon?
Sugar? Honey?
Yeast.
Okay.
Beer yeast.
You ran out of yeast?
Beer yeast.
Okay, fair.
Mead, wine, yeast, I had plenty of. But, you know, unless I wanted to do the kvike on all of these... no, not really. And Jake gave me a great deal because he had some Belgian ale packets that were already 4 months old.
Okay.
And then, the frozen,
Yeah.
they're not frozen, but the refrigerated
Refrigerated, yeah.
yeast packets. It was like, well, hey, how about I give you a deal on these three? And, we'll go that way. Instead of getting you the fresh one, you help me get rid of some stock. I know you know what to do with this to get this back up to spec. So, yeah, why not? I'm like,
Yeah.
hell yeah, no, that works for me.
And this is just an example of how much Box and Bronco wants to help. They don't. They want to get rid of their stock, sure, but they know what to do.
Right, and they know that I know enough to make a starter from a mead that's been sitting in their fridge for 4 months. I'm sorry, for a yeast that's been sitting in their fridge for 4 months. So,
Not to mention these packets of Belgian kits have been how long?
the kit itself has probably been here for 4 issues.
Okay then, yeah.
So,
So.
yeah, these have been sitting here for a while. Hoping they're still fresh. Thinking
Sure,
they
they're
should.
okay. They're canned, so they should be fine.
A worst case, they're going to make bottles of beer that's going to sit in my basement or garage until I put them in the fridge and then drink them. So,
Oh, that sounds horrible.
yeah, it will be fine, and it will give me a relatively cheap source of beer to drink for the summer, fall, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we'll be okay. I think we'll make this work. But yeah, that was just one interaction I had with Box of Barleycorn and why I needed to go there yesterday. And of course, while I was there, I picked up a cider kit that was on sale and another fermenter because, oh my God, have problems.
Yeah, I mean,
Now, there's only two fermenters in front of you right now. And
yeah, well, my wife refuses to walk in with me to Bacchus because she thinks I'll come out faster. She'll catch on.
sweet summer child.
She'll catch on.
And she's missing out on the home brew.
Well, yeah, I can usually talk her in for that, but she'll try to hustle me out as quick as she can. That not really ever works.
No. You gotta
She
do what
has
you
her
can.
shopping, I have mine.
Anyway,
Anyway,
hey, let's get to the meat of the day.
no, let's not, because we have Box and Barleycorn. If you're going to do an online order, MHP10 will get you 10% off.
We nearly forgot that 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and I
Good
caught it.
save.
Yeah, thank you.
Good save, Mr. Martindale. I appreciate that so much
No
because
problem.
are we professionals at this? No. Do we
No.
need to at least, try and be professional? Because we are, they're doing us a favor with that code and providing us hosting and stuff like that. Yeah,
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 definitely, yeah.
yeah. No, MHP10 gets you 10% off your order at Box of Barleycorn's website. And that helps them out, lets them know that they're providing hosting for us is making a difference, giving us something good to provide out into the ether and help you guys out. It helps us, and
Helps him.
yeah, everybody kind of wins here, so just take advantage of it, please.
Okay. So, meat of the day.
Meat of the day.
Finally. Finally.
Tanner, thank you for your
Thank
patience.
you, Tanner.
We have also been patient enough.
We've waited. Okay, you've been patient. I've waited. I've not been patient.
It has admittedly been a little bit more patience on my part because it is sitting in my garage for most of this time, waiting to be drank, sitting here. But this is Tanner Spiced Vanilla that he gave us last year at
Valkyrhorn.
Valkyrie's Horn. And the bottle on date for this is 3/1/25. Today's date as we're recording this is 3/8/25. So it has been a full year as he asked. And now we're going to taste Tanner's Spiced Vanilla. The label does not provide a lot more information other than the date and spice vanilla and a 12% ABV. But let's see what
Very
our
pale.
friend gave us here. Yeah, it's a light to medium straw color, not deep enough for amber, but I think here, let me just finish off the bottle.
Oh, darn. Okay. Well, now, mind you, Tanner, if for those of you who don't know who we're talking about, Tanner, he actually won an award at that Valkyrhorn. His first time at Valkyrhorn, it was his black tea mead.
Nice.
I believe he meddled in that.
Well,
If I'm
good for
wrong,
him.
Tanner, correct me, but if I'm right, shout out, you did a fantastic job. Congratulations on that medal. Oh,
Nice light vanilla
I love that vanilla smell.
and honey a little bit. The vanilla is a little stronger, but neither of them are that strong in general.
We're also talking about 12%. It shouldn't be horrible strong.
No. That is a very clear, again, very light in color. Does it sheet the glass? It's really hard to tell with these, like,
I don't see any sheeting.
yeah, no, it's, I think you mean you don't see any legs, but yeah, no, it's sheeting the glass, making nice even.
Okay, yeah. I don't see any legs.
That is ridiculously smooth.
That is amazingly smooth. It's got a nice tannin hit in the top of the mouth.
as it kind of progresses into the back palate. Yeah.
It's okay. I don't yet. Oh, tasting honey or tasting vanilla isn't okay. I'm not going to taste a lot of that because
Yeah.
it's a those are smells in this case, but it is lightly sweet.
Yeah, it's I would say it's semi-sweet to maybe you could make a case that it's off dry. You could make a case that it's on the sweeter side because the taste is a little with the tannin and the vanilla, that kind of muddles things. But I would say, yeah, let's just put it right in the middle. It's semi-sweet.
Yeah, I call it semi-sweet. But like Jeff said, it is amazingly smooth.
And at 12% Tanner, this is dangerous.
Yeah, I'm glad you only gave us a 12-ounce bottle of this because if it was any more than that, making it to the show would be hard. Because I would drink this way too fast.
As it is, we've already got other bottles to open. And ooh, buddy.
Okay, Tanner,
Is
full
that
marks. Good job.
that's just a seam, it's not a crack. I was worried that my glasses were cracking. These
No, no,
my
no.
we're drinking out of some little like they look like pint jar kind of glasses. They have a cute little bee on them. My wife and my mother-in-law got me I think for Father's Day or my birthday or something last year. And they are unfortunately quite fragile. I think
Yeah.
one of the glasses we had in maybe it was the Christmas episode where we were just playing
Yeah, I
games with
broke
our
one.
wives. I don't think you broke it. I think it was just broken. It had a little chip on the bottom that was leaking. And
Okay.
then like a month later, I had another one do the exact same thing. And then I had one that I'm pretty sure a cat knocked off the table. But you know, my collection of eight of these glasses is waning. I'm pretty sure my not quite a teenager, but sure as heck acting like its son is also has one or two sitting somewhere in his room collecting dust rather than going to the sink or the dishwasher so they can be cleaned. Child.
Oh, I would have no idea what you're talking about
Right?
whatsoever.
And I'm sure none of our audience knows anything about
No.
this kind of situation either.
Yeah.
It's considering I'm sure a big chunk of the mead making community is, you know, guys in their middle-aged guys like us.
Yeah.
I'm sure plenty of people have very similar situations in their own homes.
Oh, anyway, but Tanner,
Yeah. High
damn
marks,
man,
buddy.
hi Mark, this is good, and thank you for having the. I think having the year gave it the structure that.
It definitely, I'm willing to bet it mellowed out any kind of the harshness of the yeast character might have given it. It's very smooth, very mellow. Is it like a flavor bomb?
No,
No. Am I
but
asking for that? No.
no.
So, yeah, I think this was nicely made. It's just a chill, mellow sipper. Man, if we had a big bottle of this or several big bottles of this and had the grill running, we would be in
We
so much
so
trouble.
much trouble. So I mean, I'd be camping out. I mean that it's good. But I mean, I got really nothing to say about adding anything, subtracting anything. It's just, you just did a good job, Tanner. It's good.
So, Chris, last week we teased a Pyment episode.
Yes, we did.
We're going to talk a little bit about Pyment. We also had another topic we wanted to hit on because I don't know how much we want to get into, you know, speculation about Pyments too. Where do you want to start?
Oh, that's a good question. Pyments. Well, let's go through what pyments are
Sure.
and how they're structured. So,
Well, I'm going to go ahead and open the second bottle of the day. This is, we'll just share a glass of this for inspiration. Unless, okay, you can finish your water glass and get dangerous. Hee hee. This is actually limited edition 2018. I bought this in 2020 from a limited edition kit Jackie had sitting around for a while. So technically, it's 5 or 6 years old. By label, it's closer to seven. But I mean, this was one of the kits that was sitting around for a while, wasn't moving, and it happens to be one of my favorite styles of wine. So it was in, when once he put a little discount on it, oops, I spilled.
that'll be in your bucket. Anyway, but so pyments. Pyments are, it's a mead with grape juice or grapes.
Right. The idea is that much like you make a wine from grapes or a mead from honey, a piment is made from grapes
And
and
honey.
honey to make a a kind of a hybrid.
Yeah, it's a hybrid mead.
And you know, the idea behind any of these hybrids, whether it's like a Braggot or a Sizer or a Piedmont, is that you have positive characteristics from both.
Yes. And don't let that scare you, because honest to goodness, when you do a hybrid like those three, the Piedmont, the Braggot, all this, generally you get good results. It may not be as good as you want, but you'll generally get good results, because they tend to be more important flavors that you want when you do your fermenting and such.
And part of the idea here is that this is a Chilean Malbec. So this is a red wine. This usually has some kind of nice spicy character to it. I mean, it has been sitting around for a while, so it has a little bit of oxidization, but it's mostly okay, I think.
It is deep dark red.
It's off dry to dry.
Very smooth, though.
Very, there's a pronounced tannin to it that hits you right on the top of the tongue.
And it's, I'm going to put, as harsh as that tannin is, I'm going to put a little bit to the oxidation.
It's very possible. I'm not getting a lot of baking spice notes to it, to be honest. Like, if I really look for it, I get kind of an allspice or a maybe a nutmeggy blend. I've had some of these that are very spice forward.
It's got some spice forwardness, not
It's
much,
just
it's.
not as, you know, I've had some cinnamon kind of bite, if you will. Then it's not like this is added spice to it, but it's just a part of the whole Malbec thing between the terroir of the grapes and the kind of yeast they're using. And it might be more pronounced if we had some like really wild cheese to go with it. The first time I had a Malbec, I was eating some kind of like Alpine Swiss cheese that was really hard, but the two combined together went, oh my God. And then it was like, okay, no, I officially like this style of wine now.
Okay. Well, that's right. But Piedmont's, as we've talked about before, Piedmont, your grapes can be added before or after. If you're going to use whole fruit, we recommend using the skins and freezing and crushing.
It kind of depends. I mean, if you're gonna do, I think if you're gonna do a Piedmont and you're gonna use whole fruit, like you're gonna order grapes from the grape harvest, you want to do the crush and press, and you kind of want to do this the same way they do with wine. So white wine is usually made without the skins, and red wine is usually made with the skins.
Okay,
I
fair.
would keep that same kind of dichotomy going, but that's me. So.
And but you know this, but if you haven't noticed in markets recently, they've got 101 types of grape currently. Candy, cotton candy grapes, pie grapes, what, strawberry grapes.
And those are just table grapes.
Yeah, those are just table
Now,
grapes.
table grapes, kind of like cider apples versus table apples, as I understand it, white grapes, not necessarily great for eating. Table
I
grapes.
have eaten some wine grapes. They're okay. They're not as sweet. They're all usually smaller. And they literally gave me a bunch, and you bite a mouthful off the bunch of grapes. If you get stems, you chew and swallow. But they're not as sweet, and they're small.
Yes.
They're tiny grapes. I mean, I'm talking like twice the size of the head of a pin, those plastic head pins, that size grape. But they have a very complex flavor profile.
Yeah, and
Table grapes are just sweet.
that's and kind of the same way with cider apples versus table apples. Table apples have a sweetness that you're looking for the consumption, whereas the, you know, the table, I'm sorry, the cider apples tend to be in like that bitter, sharp kind of category where they have acidity and they have a lot more of like round, different flavor characters that make it more interesting until the sugar's gone. So yeah, I can kind of see where we're going with that, where you, if we're getting plain grapes, they're gonna have more stuff going on than just the sweet, versus the table grapes, they're there to be
They're
sweet.
largely sweet, and that's not a problem. Remember, we work with sugar, and you always have the option once it's finished to back sweeten with more grape juice
Right.
to get more great, quote unquote, flavor out of it.
Right. And this is probably one of those cases, like, especially if you're using something like Concord grapes, which not everybody's a fan of. Not everybody likes the Manischewitz style of Concord wine. But if you're using those, you know, like we were talking about with my sangria episode last week, just go to your frozen food aisle, get some of the Concord grape juice. You've got the grape flavor, you've got the sweetness. That's a kind of a 1-2 easy punch to add more of that Concord flavor, if that's what you're going for.
Yeah,
If
and this
not.
is also why I would tell you to, when you use your hydrometer, check the sugar after you've combined these things.
Yes.
If you use it just grape juice and no water, and your honey, you're gonna have a lot of sugar in there.
Yeah.
But you can do this, but you just make sure you know what you're going into.
No, that said, there's even if we're not, there's so many different approaches to getting a piment together. Because, for one, like we talked about, you can use fresh crushed grapes, and there is a time of the year you have to do that because there's not like a round harvest for this. Those are usually done in the fall when we get the big like shipments out from the Lodi, California, and the grape growing regions out there.
And you can get those grapes
Yeah,
from those wine producing plants.
you
You can order
absolutely.
some of those grapes they use for wine.
And you can usually, like Bacchus has a crusher and a press that you can use to get those, or sometimes maybe you just want the crush, not the press. But yeah, you have options for using whole fruit if you want. You also have all kinds of kits available to you. Any of the kits that you find at Bacchus or your favorite homebrew store locally, usually they make either a gallon or 3 gallons or 6 gallons of wine. It's just as easy to add honey to that to make a good piment.
And you can actually, if you go to like natural grocers, natural food grocery stores, like Whole Foods or whatever you go to, they have no sulfites added, no preservatives added, jars of juice, like 32 ounces, like $7 a piece.
It's a little pricey, but yeah, and
If you're making a gallon, it's not a huge thing.
this is another thing that I was about to talk about is that there are all kinds of grape plus other fruit juice mixes you can find at any local supermarket. The important thing there is, of course, the sulfites or other preservatives that could really screw up your fermentation. So yeah, going the whole foods route or another natural grocery route where you know it's going to be minimal on sulfites or other things that end in ite or ate, those preservatives that can really screw up your ferment and lead to some nasty flavors. Yeah, those are the good choice. So
Yeah, I just called up on my computer just a whole bunch from a natural food grocer. Organic mango passion fruit, orange cranberry, even orange. You can use orange juice. I'd be careful personally because that could be
Orange is
something
one of
wrong.
those things that I think is gonna, that's the question of whether do we want to put the orange juice in primary or secondary. I would think put the juice in secondary, and maybe if you are lucky enough to have the zest, that can go in primary, okay. But
But blueberry pomegranate is pretty popular. I've seen that mead come across a lot.
yeah, and that's a what, 52-ounce bottle, so not quite half a gallon.
32 ounce for.
Oh yes, 32-ounce. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing. For $6.30.
Now they have one here. It's a 52 ounce carton, half a gallon for $6. That's orange, peach, and mango.
Yeah, as long as these are preservative free, and please, check
Make sure it's preserve
the
free.
ingredients list.
Save yourself a big headache
A
there.
lot of these guys will use citric acid or ascorbic acid as their preservative. Totally fine. The worst case, you're going to have to do a little less acid adjusting later.
That's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But make sure you're not working against what you're putting in your fermenter because if I we've talked about the Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper meads before, a long time ago. If I was to use actual Mountain Dew or actual Dr. Pepper, I just don't think I'm going to win.
No, this. There are so many little adjustments and little hacks, supposedly, that you would have to do to get a store-bought product into a level where the yeast can really get at it effectively and not have weird off flavors. I just don't want to chance it.
Yeah,
And I
and
know, I'm sure we'll get into it. There are guys that have done it. I just don't want to make those kind of compromises.
no. Plus, the making mead is, and Jeff and I are both very guilty of this. We love the control we have of what we put in the bucket.
Yes.
If we're putting something we have no control over how it was made, we don't know how to control what we're making, and that's hard for us. I mean, it's actually almost physically painful for us.
It's one of those compromises that I don't like making, is how having to do a bunch of extra stuff just to get stuff at a point where the yeast can do its thing. I would rather be like, okay, well, I'm adding my ingredients and I'm adding my honey and I'm topping up with water as needed. Now yeast go.
Yeah,
That's
I
it.
want to make it easy for the yeast so I have an easier made product. But make sure if you have juicers, go for it. I have a juicer. I'm not really thrilled with it, but it works pretty well. And
Grapes, by their nature, are generally a juicy fruit, whether it's a table grape or a wine grape.
yeah.
So that should work fine. If you're doing enough to get like a 6 gallon batch of mead or Pyman,
Bless you, my
that's
child.
you're going to be busy.
Yeah.
Find a nice series that you don't mind binging on Netflix because you're going to want to.
Yeah, you have to have something in the background for this because you're going to be working a lot. Again, more power to you. You can do it.
We do crazy stuff for our fun interactions, but
Yeah.
you know the thing that I think we should think about when it comes to Pyman's is how do we want to approach once we've got the juice we're going to use, the other ingredients, because if we're talking about a Pyman by itself, we know we need a juice flavor, usually grape, plus other stuff. At that point, you're probably making a melomel, not strictly a Pyman, but we're also looking at honey. And we're looking at yeast. In the whole, we could go a melomel and not just a piment. We could also do a fruit and spice and include grapes and honey and something else, right? We're still in the piment territory, but we can include other flavors in our whole milieu mix, whatever. So how do we decide on that?
Again, okay, the best thing to do for me to know what I'm working with is I'll taste it.
Yeah.
I'll just flat out taste it. These grapes, okay, what will this do? I'll taste it. And I'm trying to look past the sweet to the flavor. Because remember, a lot of fruits like strawberries and yeah, even grapes, their flavor profile is sweet. And you have to look past that and see what else is there. That's why wine grapes are so important here, because you're getting more flavor than the actual sweet in those things.
Right. There's a broader flavor palette included in those, just with the terroir and things like that.
But I, taste them. Look, that's what I do. I'll taste it. I said, will this work for what I want? Yes, no. And generally, my answer is yes. Now you have to work on concentration of that. This is where the bite comes in.
It's the balance,
Yeah, it's the balance. You have all kinds of options there. If it's, we've talked about water, if we used watermelon puree, pure watermelon puree with yeast, we're probably not going to have watermelon flavored mead.
Right, no.
However, there is flavorings that can add to that to help with that.
Well, and we're just talking about wine right
Yeah.
now. Wine and maybe other flavors as we so desire. But for the most part, how do we match the wine to a honey? Let's take a sip of the
Okay.
Malbec and kind of say, okay, what kind of honey would go well with this?
Okay, since it's a really heavy flavor, you could use a heavier honey. And I'm now a light honey, you're not going to get any honey out of it,
It's going to
flavor
bump
it.
the alcohol content, but it's not going to give a flavor of its
No.
own. No.
So I you could use a orange blossom very easily.
Yeah, I don't know that orange blossom would do a lot. There is a level of acidity here that I think it would kind of buttress that, but it wouldn't necessarily add a contrast to.
Okay, how about I think buckwheat's too hard, but it could work.
It could
Because you're going to get a grainy flavor in there with that.
a little bit. I could see two different approaches here.
Okay.
We could go more of a malty honey, like an avocado or a cranberry.
That'd work.
And that would be a little bit more earthy flavor. It would round this out and it would still contrast nicely with the flavor. I could also see this would be an interesting, weird one, a little bit of a weird flex, but the like a mesquite kind of not exactly spicy, but a little bit more of that in the idea of spicy honey could be an interesting flavor profile here too.
What about your coffee honey?
That could work too. It might take a little bit more from a, especially if we're thinking about back sweetening with that instead of, the bulk of the honey, the primary ferment honey.
Yeah.
We might end up using a little bit more of that than we would a traditional to get the back sweetening flavor, but it would definitely work where we could get some interesting notes out of that because that coffee honey is fun and complicated
Yeah, it's got a
and.
very rich player profile in the honey itself. I just thought about this because you introduced me to this honey many, many years ago. The sage honey. What do you think of that would do, I think?
That's a good one. I don't remember the sage honey flavor notes off the top of my head. Speaking of honey, though, not to derail this conversation entirely, but Jake also just got some honey from Sean.
Oh my gosh, more.
He's
Okay, guys, just Sean, he has bees in Hawaii
yes.
that he uses for industrial pollinization. His back product is honey. So now Boxmark has bought some of his honey.
Now they have Lahua and macadamia
Oh
now.
my, that, oh.
They are both so good.
The macadamia in this would be really good.
It has a buttery character that could, it's not going to be like a strong contrasty flavor, but it could be
It'd
nice.
be a nice butterfly with this Corazon. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a Malbec. The
Malbec.
Corazon was like a fanciful title. Corazon is Spanish for heart, for those that are,
Okay.
yeah.
I don't speak Spanish well.
I don't either, but I know enough to hablo español at the Taco Bell delivery.
You got me beat. Anyway, okay. Now I'm gonna giggle for a while. All right, but no, but if you want some really, really good Hawaiian honey, Box and Barleycorn,
Yeah.
and you can
Or just look
use
up Sean on Facebook,
or look up Sean on
Sean
Facebook,
Darrell Harris.
and it's amazing honey. I've never had anything I got from him bad.
Right. It's all different. It's all fun. And I have three or four different varieties of it sitting around waiting. It is, it's a little expensive because you are paying shipping. But he's not doing this as a primary way to make money. He's doing this as a hey, I've got all this honey and there is a market for it, so I might as well, kind of break even kind of an idea.
And he actually, he'll ship it to you. It's like 5 or 10 pounds, if whatever one you
I
want.
forget exactly the formats he's using now, yeah.
But honest to God, you're getting some really amazing honeys at probably a better price you're going to get almost anywhere. I mean, for
Right.
artisan honey, for a really good price.
At least comparable to what you'd be paying for a good varietal honey from,
Local.
local retailers, for sure.
And
So,
shout out to Sean. He's an amazing individual. He and his wife are unbelievably cool.
yeah, I always fun just interacting with them on Messenger or whatever when we're putting an order together. Again, like the for finishing honeys.
Oh, yeah, but I would love to see this piment with that butteriness of macadamia. That would be something.
I'm hoping that that Jake still has some of that macadamia in stock Thursday when I get paid for my real job
Ah,
and not just the sitting around drinking mead with my buddy.
I'll see if I can get there before you and make sure we tie some down. No, for us. I'm
Yes.
willing to share, man. I'm not just doing this to beat you to
I'll
it.
fight you for it if I have to.
Yeah,
I'm not afraid to.
you know how to cheat. That's not fair. Anyway, but back to the pie. So first thing I would do is I taste the fruit. I taste the grapes. And decide if I can get enough flavor out of them for that. And decide, okay, like Jeff said, Concord, if you're going to use a dark red wine, if you're going to use the skins. If not, you're going to get a white wine. Same thing with the mead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, follow that path. And I think that kind of red or white is also a great starting point for choosing a yeast because, like it or not, most of the mead yeasts we use are not actually made for mead. They're made for
Wine.
wine.
Yeah.
And so you
Like, I
have
don't know if any mead, I don't know any yeast I've ever used is strictly made for mead.
my, if I remember right, the Polish mead is using that Mangrove Jack's mead strain. I've used a couple Y yeast mead strains, and you guys have heard me complain about one of them. The sweet to me, every time I used it, wanted to stall and took a lot more babying than I was willing to put up with for my own sanity. But yeah, for the most part, most of the meads we're using, most of the ones we're recommending for beginners, those are
Wine.
for wine, from
Yeah.
Lavin.
And you can make it even with a champagne yeast.
Yeah.
Completely legit.
Champagne yeast don't add a lot of extra flavor. K1V is one of the two champagne yeasts I use, the one I use more than EC1118. And it has some flavors that play nice with apple, for example, or some of the lighter fruit flavors, like the kind of pomacy fruits like pears or plums, I think, as well. But plums, you can also get away with using a red wine yeast. I think if you've got a basic red wine yeast, if I'm not mistaken, I used 71B on this one as opposed to whatever the uncategorized yeast packet that came with the kit. Just because, hey, it's 71B.
Yeah.
It's made for red wine.
And
You
it's
know it does what it's done.
a workhorse. It's what I, it's the, when I, whenever I usually eat, almost there's a 90% chance I used 71B.
It's got red fruit, 71B is already my primary, like, hey, I'm okay. Give me a reason not to choose 71B
Yeah.
more than give me a something else. If it's like if I'm making a trad or something on the lighter side, 71B still has between like a 25 to 50% chance of being the one I choose,
Yeah,
just
I
because
mean,
it's it does what it's supposed to do so reliably, so
yeah.
easily. It's so like tolerant of different temperatures that it's hard to choose anything else and justify it. If it's a weird kind of I want yeasty flavor, then I might look somewhere else because 71B is a pretty mellow fermenter. It's in the order of like USO 5 for
If
beer yeasts.
I'm going to do the tropical fruit meat I have planned out, I'm not using 71B.
Right. The QA23 makes a little bit more
QA23.
sense. Maybe D47 at a higher
Still
temperature.
going with
That's
QA right this point.
the D47 at a higher flavor is a higher temperature is not a textbook, but I've gotten some great results from that.
Okay, well.
So that's off-label use, right?
Yeah, but no, but nonetheless, go with what works, but 71B is our base. That's our go-to. But so after that, you choose your grape, you choose your honey, and if you're having a red wine mead, and meat is technically a wine, it's good. Same process, just with honey instead of fruit.
What is your source of sugar? That's
Yeah,
the only
it's
difference.
the only real difference. Now, the next thing I do is the amount of fruit I'm putting in it. Because, with something like grapes, even wine grapes, I want to put a lot in.
But realistically, like the if you're making a piment and you're using actual grapes or your actual fruit, I'm thinking you're not adding much water.
Yeah.
You're pretty much using the juice from the fruit and the skins from the fruit if you're making it on the red side. And you're pretty much like adding honey to that, kind of in the same way that I've heard that there are a number of French winemakers, especially in the red wine regions, that sometimes the harvest is not as sugary as they're used to. So they have a term for it. I think it's like chapitelize. Chapitelize.
Bad sugar.
They add table sugar
They had table.
to make
Okay,
it
now.
more alcoholic, to make it in line with what they want, whether it's like a 12% red or whatever. None of them want to admit that because it's not.
It's not the pure art. I
It's
get it.
not the art, it's not the expectation, but they have targets they're needing to hit, and so they do
Yeah, since I have to get these 500 cases of wine out, and these are my grapes, I'm going to do what I have to do.
And by God, is the buying public going to be disappointed if they get a 10.5% red instead of a 12% red, you know?
Yeah, how many of you actually look at the percentage like we do?
Speaking of percentages and weird stuff, my wife and I went to Total Wine last
Okay.
weekend, and we found a great deal on, I forget the brand name of it, but we found a it was a coconut rum, and they were mixing it on the spot with like a cocktail of orange and pineapple juice.
Okay.
Really nice. Like, okay. And the handle of it, the 100 of the 1.75 liters handle, $17.
Okay.
Beans, right?
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, well, we should get this. I get that home. I start making a cocktail with some pineapple juice I had laying around. I look at the bottle, the label on the bottle. The
And
coconut rum was a 20% ABV.
oh, dude.
And went, honey, I know why this rum is so cheap, because it's only half rum.
Yeah.
You are getting us into trouble already.
Yes,
Roasted
I am.
coconut and mangosteen drink from our friends Foco
Yeah.
that have made the lychee and the tamarind drink we had on previous
Yeah,
episodes.
I went to the store and they're sitting there. It was a mangosteen and a toasted coconut juice. I'm sitting here. I don't think we've tried this on show, and we'll have to do it on a future show.
We will have to do this on a future show.
I've got enough here wine in front. I got enough meat in front, wine, wine in front of me. This is good.
We've got enough mead and wine in front of us for six shows. Let's be
No, I'm
fair.
talking in the glass.
That too,
Yeah.
but yes, as far as bottles on the table, we have a
Oh, see here. What is this?
we suffer.
Yeah, 10 to 12 shows right in front of me.
I didn't even bring down the two bottles I got from Apigard this
Oh
week
my God,
either.
they came in too.
Yes. Which
Oh, I got some coming in from Biking Horn.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'm so excited. I've tasted a little bit of Eichenkorn over the years. I've always enjoyed it. Would love to see, but Apigard, peach pear with cinnamon.
okay, that sounds nice.
That does sound good.
You know, we
We
didn't talk
will.
about cinnamon, the spice, and the bringing the heat episode. Cinnamon's a good one.
Cinnamon is one we should have thought
I
about, and
just thought about that.
I think I thought about that when we were when I was editing. Jeff.
Oh man, cinnamon, we both fried
And I'm
it.
pretty sure I've got a cinnamon tincture upstairs in the kitchen that would, the way you make a tincture, the way the extraction works, I'm sure it would have been a little burny too. And we could go try it between, the chilling out and sobering up, and
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll figure out something.
Anyway, back to Pimots.
Dying for payments. Okay, now after, what would you have for that, Jeff?
So we've picked our grapes, we've picked our honey, we've picked our yeast. At this point, we have a mead. There's only one thing in the whole, like, only wine and only mead that we really need to think about. Oak.
Okay, yeah.
Because if we're doing a red, it's almost incumbent on us to put
Yeah,
oak in
you've
at
got to oak
some
that
level.
thing.
If you're doing a white, there is still a welcome place for some level of oakiness.
Okay, I think that this is going to break down to the toasted level.
The toast, the character, the species, and also, how much oak you want to put in it, what kind of thing you're starting with. Oaky Chardonnays are a thing. And I would say, let's be real. Most of the wine styles, if we want to hew to a specific style of wine, like we're going to make a Chardonnay mead or a Burgundy mead, those have their own specific style already, so we kind of need to hew towards that and play with that. And those styles, almost by definition, those are from regions of Europe, France and Italy, more often than not, that use French oak.
Okay, fair.
So we're probably going to use French oak. We might go light toast, we might go medium plus. We're probably going to start with medium.
Yeah, I'd go medium,
So
personally.
medium French oak
Especially
is
for the red.
medium French oak for a red, even for, excuse me, even for a Chardonnay,
Okay.
is a safe one. We could also do a little adjunct to that, though. We could add a little bit of, I would say, red. Sorry, French is a basis, but we could also throw in some Hungarian for that spice character. The spicier red, like we're drinking right now,
Yeah.
a little of the Hungarian could be nice. A little American for the strong vanilla character, especially at higher toast levels, could also work pretty nicely. I mean, if we've got a heavy red, a little extra vanilla just kind of smooths things
Wouldn't hurt
out.
a bit.
And it adds a level of tannin that is kind of chill and relaxed, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. That Amarana would be interesting.
That would
It's
be interesting.
not, the normal thing we're looking for in a wine,
But we're not
but it
making
might,
normal, we're making good.
we're making an, it, if you're looking for an interesting note, that might be a good, interesting note.
I'm going to throw one out here for you. This is complete, not even an oak, all maple.
Maple is a very light flavor, and it can. The couple of times I've tried maple, it came off as almost a little grassy to me. I would be more willing to try maple in like a light white than I would a red.
Okay,
I
fair.
think it would get lost in a red, to be honest.
Fair enough. I don't know why it came to mind, but I want to bring it up.
Sure, this is two guys sitting in a basement drinking too much and talking about mead.
Oh,
There's
yes, we're back in the basement where we
yes,
belong.
it's warm, and we're back in my evil lair.
Yeah,
Ha 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 ha
well.
ha. Lightning crash.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
You can tell we're not a professional podcast
Oh,
because we
no.
don't have the sound effects.
Yeah, and well, we can fix that. We know what to do. But anyway. So okay, so we got our oak. So if we're I so I'm gonna I personally just as me, I'd go for the medium French oak with some American.
Okay. And that's a fairly safe way to go, I think. If you're looking to add an extra layer, an extra level of complexity to it, you've got options though.
The Hungarian's a good option. What's another one?
Amarana, again,
Yeah,
another
I got
option.
that.
We have some weird oak related products that could be cool too. There was like cypress or aspen or something like that that has, again, weird spicy character to it. I am willing to say, hey, let's try some some of those weird, like, smoker fuel things, like pecan, could be fun too.
Pecan, that's an interesting thought.
And maybe that would get lost in a stronger red like the one we're drinking today, but pecan, a smoky pecan
Need a
in a,
Chardonnay.
or another white.
Or another way, yeah, that'd be cool. I'd like that.
I mean, you and I are both Kansas City boys. We're barbecued eaters. The smoke flavor is appealing to both of us.
Oh
So
yeah.
that's adding a smoke character to a medium sweet white wine base piment. That seems like a home run, though, right?
Seems like an easy add-on there.
Yeah, layup.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah, I'm so sports. I'm so sports.
sports, sports.
Sports, cool sports. Oh, what a robust looking group of men. Which one were we rooting for again?
The gentleman in the red, I believe.
Oh,
Yes,
yes. Nonetheless, I make meat. I don't watch sports per se, guys.
ignore us. We're not big sports fans.
But anyway, so all right, so then it's just, now to put all these parts together,
Right.
throw our meat, our yeast in there.
And the other thing we could think about here, after we've got these base parts, other flavors, other thoughts. And this is really strictly if you want to make it more complex than baseline. I think if you're looking for a, let's say a Chardonnay piment,
Yeah.
you really don't want to add a lot to it.
Now you're pretty much done at this point.
Right. You choose the yeast that goes with it, you choose the honey that goes with it. You still want identifiable Chardonnay character, but you want to throw in a yeast, I'm sorry, like a honey character that makes it, oh yeah, this is not just a wine, this is a piment. So in that case, you want probably a lighter flavor, like an orange blossom.
Yeah,
That
orange blossom.
Mexican orange blossom we
That
had
Mexican was really
with
good.
just a Chardonnay, the two of those together and the right yeast,
Yeah,
you're done.
you're stellar. If you on the heavier red ones, you can go as much as clove, cinnamon.
Right. You could throw in spices. You could throw in other fruits.
A orange peel would be awesome.
A grapefruit could be interesting.
Yeah.
You could go some like blueberry or blackberry, just a little bit for an extra flavor note. If it's congruent, if it plays nice. And this is one of those things I think you would want to like, you would want to taste some of your grape juice before you ferment it, and maybe with a little bit of the fresh fruit, just to see if those two work together,
Yeah.
to get a feeling for it. But you could totally do that. Again, we're getting out of just piment territory as far as like if you're going to enter this into a mead competition. At that point, it's more of a melomel because it's a blend of different fruits and different like categories of fruit. Or if you added spices, that would be like a fruit and spice. But you've got options here, and they're fantastic.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of the intuiting how we're going to make an interesting, fun, or complicated mead from stuff we've got lying around is just kind of the draw to this hobby for me that I really enjoy.
So yeah, but piment. I mean, there you go. I mean, I wait till you finish bubbling, rack off and enjoy. I mean, honestly, and you're and in case we didn't say it clearly enough, the oak goes in last.
The oak is the, yeah, when you're done with towards the end of secondary, if not that finishing step right before you back sweeten and get everything in the bottle.
Yeah, that's the last. That's at the end before black sweetening. And you should have a stellar piment. You really should. Now we actually had a request come in from a listener. He says, "Why? Who is your favorite people to listen to online?
Watch on YouTube,
Watch
I
on
think
YouTube."
was the specifier there.
He said, "Watch on YouTube," and that's cool. I don't have very many, I'll be honest. My favorite is Man-Made Meat.
Yeah, Man-Made Mead is. I got to meet him at our first Iron V competition, just for funsies. He came up there and surprised us, and it was fantastic. He is his. He makes very good, high quality.
Content.
Right, his style, his presentation. He puts a lot of effort into making a good looking video. His process, as far as like, he uses good nutrition, he uses good timing, all that.
He uses very good technique and his sanitation is stellar.
Right. Everything is A plus. Plus, he has some extremely ambitious experiments that he's done. Like the when we talked about that fruit in primary versus secondary,
Yeah,
where he
that
did
was
like
a huge experiment, wasn't
12 or 14 different
it?
fruits.
Yeah,
And
And two, one be in one, and one in primary, one in secondary when they add the fruit.
Right.
Completely different results. And he went through that entire process. That's huge.
And he's done huge ones with, like, I think he's done like hops and different yeast styles and all kinds of stuff. His back catalog
is immense.
If you're looking for cool stuff,
we recommend him.
Check him out.
He's
also
awesome.
If you're just looking to say, hey, I want to make a mead with XYZ, the dude has made over 500 meads or something like that by now. And if you're just looking for ideas to start with, hey, I found this cool fruit, or I found this style of, you know, whatever mead that I like,
he might have done it.
Back catalog and see where he started for a good start for your own.
Now, does this mean you shouldn't do it on your own? You should absolutely do it on your own. If you have a new idea that you haven't seen with us or him, do it.
Yeah, please.
But please tell us how you did. The fact we got a call in about durian mead,
yeah,
absolutely blew me away a couple weeks ago.
Wild. The other one, you will, Garrett from Mad Made Me collaborates with a lot of people, mm-hmm, on various channels. One of the ones he frequently collaborates with is a gent named BC. His channel is called Doing the Most.
I've seen that, yeah, one.
He was, remember the jello molds we were talking about for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
That was him.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
He also has fantastic technique, fantastic process. You listen to the little bumper at the start of his channel. It feels like he's tried to make a lifestyle channel where he was going to talk about making mead and barbecue and just doing all kinds of different stuff. And he landed on mead. He's a fun, engaging guy. He has a lot of really interesting stuff, and he does weird experiments too. I think he's a great, you know,
he's a great resource.
Right. Another one that I saw through Man-Made Mead was a Flora Mead, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She's not posted in a couple of years now.
No, but I do remember seeing that episode with Man-Made Mead with her.
Yeah, and she's sharp. I recall her having a good idea of what she was doing. She had really interesting content and some fun ideas. I really liked the stuff she was putting out. So, you know, again, she's not making anything lately, which is unfortunate. But as far as the stuff that she has, the stuff that she has published, I would recommend her 100%.
Yeah. I like one that, and it's called Mead with Eric and Derek.
Okay.
They're fun.
I've not seen them yet,
but
might have to check them out.
Oh, check them out. Their techniques are solid, but they're like us, two guys batting around making mead, and they get pretty good. They get pretty good stuff on. And there's also the one-offs we see. Craft Brew did a one-off for, mm-hmm, mead. Tasting History with Max,
yes,
Miller. He did a few on meads because they had different kinds of meads he did. Like
the, here and there, he's thrown a few together, yeah.
Yeah, and all these are good sources, man. But for the techniques, Man-Made Mead,
Doing the Most with BC.
Yeah, and Eric and Derek, mm-hmm, are really good. You know, if you want to see how to step through the process, I recommend them.
If you're on a little bit more of a sciencey nerd like me, Brewlosophy is mostly beer. But they have a lot of processes and things that apply just as much to beer as it does to mead. You know, they do, their whole thing is they do a lot of experiments. And it's, some of them apply more than others. Like, hey, if we add oxygen or we don't add oxygen at primary, does that make a difference? That's going to make a difference, same for beer as it is for mead.
Yeah.
The other channel I will throw a little bit of praise towards, and this one is a little bit more cautious for me, but there's a guy out there, and I've shared a couple videos of his with you, called Mead Dummy. He does all kinds of weird stuff.
Okay. I remember.
Will It Ferment is one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've seen that one.
I think, like, he did one with bugs.
I haven't seen that one.
He used, like, there is a certain subset of the population that is open-minded about having, like, dehydrated and kind of, like, smoked or grilled crickets or mealworms or whatever as a snacky thing.
That's not me.
Me either.
No.
I'm.
But, you know.
That's.
But he apparently made a mead out of bugs.
He made a mead with bugs. He made a mead with Nutter Butters, I think. He's made a mead with all kinds of weird stuff. And lot of this.
If you like the oddity, go for it.
Let me preface this by saying, a lot of these are not good ideas. A lot of these are frankly bad ideas. I'm not sure his nutrition is always, really up to the level of snuff I want either. But where he earns my praise, he has some very interesting flavor combinations, especially outside of the like Willet mead. He does he calls his meadery the Old Gods Meadery. And so he's done a bunch of meads themed around like Greek gods or astrological signs or things like that, where he puts really interesting flavor combinations in there. And that I think is worth saying, hey, this guy is doing interesting stuff, even if he's not like the top of my charts as far as, he's always using Fermento or Ferment K, and he's always, 100% on these things.
Is this technique pretty good?
Apart from the nutrition, I don't have any complaints.
Okay.
He's using sanitizer, he's, following the steps. The flavor combinations are interesting.
If you want to go, if you like, if you're into the
Yeah,
Aussie thing, sure. I've not seen enough of his videos to make a call for myself.
fun and creative, yes. For stellar, like this is how you make mead, go back to Man-Made Mead or Doing the Most,
Yeah,
really,
or
to be
even
honest.
Eric and Derek.
Yeah, that needs.
But yeah, but those are the ones we watch a lot, and we would highly recommend those. Now, is that all we watch? No, we will bant around to a lot of different things.
I mean, the nature of the YouTube algorithm is, hey, you watched something on mead, let me show you something else on mead.
Yeah, and
Is it interesting? Will I check it out? Maybe.
maybe not.
But those are the ones that I consistently like. I have Doing the Most and Man-Made Mead. Subscribe, notify me all the time, anytime they
Yeah,
bring something up so that I
these are
can
ones I've
watch it.
subscribed to as well.
Brewlosophy as well, because I'm a science nerd. I will see your beer thing.
Yeah, and that's
I
you
might not
also
use it, but
you beer too. I don't do beer, I just do meads.
right now I'm getting ready to do a lot of beer because I've
You've
got
got
three
some
kits in the
canisters
closet,
here, yeah, to
and
take care of.
I just, hey, that the secondary that we made from that party guile, I'm down to six, probably seven or eight bottles.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm gonna need something else to drink this spring
Yeah,
summer.
there you go. And I'm starting my I'm gonna start my fall meets now.
Yeah, I mean, it's you've got about ish 6 months.
Yeah.
I think when we got initially started well over a year ago now, I showed you the process for making beer
Yeah.
while we were recording some other stuff, and
That was a braggart.
the braggot that I made there has come out of secondary and gone into keg
Just recently.
Friday.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
2 days ago, as we're recording on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And oh my God, it sat for well over a year. It took multiple rounds of oaking, a little back sweetening. I at one point the yeast that I used was a Scotch ale yeast that had a high like alcohol tolerance. I want to say 10 to 12%. Cut out, and then I repitched with K1B,
Jeez.
and it's still fairly sweet.
Okay, good.
But from the, I put it into a 5 gallon keg. I had more than 5 gallons, so Brewer's Treat flat. I got a good buzz off of
Okay.
the flat, and I think I still have a little bit in a pint jar somewhere, just for flavor reference too.
That gives everybody. We will wait for these. I mean, some of the meads we have on my table I brought in not long ago. They're about a year old.
But here's the thing. I put patience into this. I put thought into this. I put a lot of different ingredients at different times. The end result, better than I expected. I tasted it. I went,
And that was your last year. That was your goal last year.
yeah, was to really push myself to make something good.
Yeah.
I let my wife taste some of this. And my wife does not generally like beer. Now, granted, this was not carbonated, and her beef with a lot of beers is carbonation level. For whatever reason, she did not grow up in a household that was drinking soda, probably for the better, honestly. But carbonation in general is off-putting to her from a flavor standpoint. But the whole, like, beer in general, there's not a lot of flavor she actually enjoys. She loves the smell of IPA, hates the taste of it.
Okay, so a
Because
flat IPA is something she'd enjoy.
I doubt it. I think it's the IPA The thing she loves is the smell of the hops.
Just the smell.
The bitter taste of the hops, gross.
Okay, fair.
Why would I want to drink this, Jeff? But that the weird like fruity smell notes, especially like IPAs where you have a lot of hops going into it, and they tend to be like on the dress. There's a lot of like tropical fruit and pine and maybe grassy woodsy little notes on the side. Those are all perfumey and fun and interesting. So I can understand why she likes it, and I can understand why she doesn't like the taste, because it's
Bitter.
even if it's not like the boil phase, you get bitterness from it. So usually she's not a beer gal.
That's fair.
She tasted this and went, "Holy shit, this is really good."
Whoa,
So,
okay.
but the problem is, this is not a spring summer beer. This is like when I'm clearing the tree fall and burning a bunch of stuff sitting around in my backyard, kind of fall to maybe like having a glass by the fireplace in the winter kind of beer. It is thick. It is a little sweet. It's roasty. It's not for right now. So it's gonna sit further. And
For the fall.
but you know what else I found? My beer gun.
You finally found your beer gun.
Yes.
Good.
So at some point, maybe not immediately, but at some point, I'm going to bottle this up so that it's ready to go. In the meantime, I can bottle up the beer kits that I'm putting together or whatever, and I will have all kinds of stuff for, spring and summer before then.
Excellent. All
So.
right, so we've gone over pie mints now and a few other things, and I hope you got something out of it. We are getting very, very close to Valkyrie Horn.
Yes, we are.
I think not this episode, but the episode after this one, we're going to be wheels up right after
Yeah, we will. Well, probably not after it records, but probably after it comes out.
Yeah.
We will be. Let me look at the calendar just to verify, because oh my gosh, we are
It's so
close.
close. I think it's too late for you to join us there,
Yes.
but send happy thoughts. We're going to come back with a whole bunch of new information. We're looking forward to this thing, and I'm going to come over here on a random day when Jeff's off work and say, "Hey, let's get the mixer set up."
Apparently that's the step we need to take, because
Yeah.
yeah, no, it's sitting in a box behind you with a bunch of electrical stuff,
Yeah.
or welding, not welding,
3D printing and
well, there's 3D printing right beside it, but there's a box of like soldering and other electrical stuff that the mixer is sitting in, because
yeah, but we gotta get that going because we said we started doing interviews and such. This is how we're gonna do it, man.
yeah, that's apparently how we need to do it. Yeah, no, the day the next episode, next week's episode comes out,
Not this one, but the next one.
right, this week is the 12th, next week is the 19th, we will be wheels up and heading to Minneapolis.
Yeah,
So,
as this show's playing for
right.
the first day. Yeah, we're on our way. But hey guys, happy meeting. Thanks for joining us again. Hope you're having a great day. Hope your weather's at least as pleasant as ours is right now. I hope it stays that way.
I hope our stays that way, yes.
Yeah. But
Happy meeting, guys.
take care. And Tanner, thank you.
Thank you, dude.